Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Kate. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I am an avid reader. I live in Wisconsin. I was a school librarian for almost 10 years, but currently I'm a high school business and marketing teacher. Mm-hmm. I have three kids. We live in rural Wisconsin and I spend a lot of time outside. And when I'm outside, I'm usually reading either in my ears or walking, holding my Kindle when it's warm enough.
So tell me, when did you start reading? Were you like an early childhood reader, you know, voracious reader, or did it come later in life?
No, I don't remember like actually what age I started reading. I'm sure I was reading whenever I was reading in school, but I've been a very avid reader, escapist reader since I was a young child. And I know they say kids, I read an article recently and I can't remember where I saw it, but about, is voracious reading in childhood a sign of dissociation? And I'm like, yeah, right. Like, we want to live in other worlds. So yes, it's the same reason I read so much now. And we moved a lot when I was a kid and my parents got divorced when I was a kid. And so reading was my escape. And I think that's awesome that kids have that as an escape. Right. Yeah. And so I'm a lifelong voracious reader.
Yeah, I am the same way. I was the only reader in my family, and you could see me with a book like all the time. Like, I was like, it just got me through it. Like, it got through the traumatic event, and it got you trying to figure out like what was happening, and it made sense, like seeing another person's world and be like, oh, yeah, this is what you're supposed to do this, you know?
So. Yeah. And I grew up in really small towns in Wisconsin, and reading helped me see other parts of the country and world that I never would have known about otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what kind of books did you gravitate when you were growing up? Like, what kind of books did you read?
Oh my goodness, all of them. But also, when I was like in elementary school and early middle school, Babysitter's Club were like hardcore. My friend and I like created a lot Babysitter's Club library. I did read American Girl books. I read all the Christopher Pike books. I read Sweet Valley Twins and Sweet Valley High and all of those things, you know, like every series on earth I read. Yeah. I also read a ton of the older stuff that my mom had from when she was a kid. So I read like the Bobbsey Twins and Five Children in It and Half Magic and Lion, Witch and Wardrobe, like that kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
So kind of everything mixed together.
I love this. Yeah. I had a similar experience. I read a lot of like what was popular in the 90s, Babysitter's Club, Sweet Valley High, Sweet Valley Twins and stuff like that. My grandmother made me introduce me to Nancy Drew. That's one thing she was like, you need to read Nancy Drew. You know, and all I wanted was Ned and Nancy to get together, but it was
oh my gosh. Yes. I forgot about Nancy. I read tons of Nancy and I read the original like hardcover Nancy Drew. Yeah. And then I did also read some of those new, like there were new updated Nancy Drew ones too. So I also read those. And then in high school and probably way too young, I started reading all the typical things that people of my age read when we were too young to be reading them, like Flowers in the Attic. I read Gone with the Wind like in fifth grade or something. Tons of like Danielle Steele and all that. It was kind of, I graduated from high school in 99. So I think it was a little bit before the big YA boom hit.
Yep.
There weren't a ton of books written except Sweet Valley books and the Girls of Canby Hall, I remember. But other than that, we read adult books because that's what there was.
Yeah, I graduated in 99. So I remember just being like, I think because I was in Puerto Rico, so like the options were limited for English books. I think I stopped reading Super Valley High when I was 16 or 15. So it was like at the end of the series, because I guess the series ended in 98. I discovered that afterwards. And I was like, oh, it ended around the time I left it. And then I graduated to what was considered a time chick lit, the Jane Greens, Jennifer Weiner, that era, the Bridget Jones's Diaries, and that's where I graduated from.
Yes, I have such a soft spot for Bridget Jones, because that was one of my first like entry into, even I don't like using the term chick lit anymore, but it was what it was, right? And that was my first like that feel good, relatable kind of thing. And I think I was reading that around the same time as I was watching Sex and the City. So
yeah, it was like
fit together.
It was like aspirational. I was like, oh, this is what grownups do. This is what I'll do in my 30s. You know?
That's exactly what I'm living.
Yeah. So now let's talk about like where you are right now. What kind of books do you read now? You know, what do you consume?
Yeah. So it's really interesting. I've been reading romance, well, like I was just saying, forever, because if you look back at those Sweet Valley books, there's a lot of romance going on in those. But I consider myself a very prolific romance reader, but I'm noticing my tastes changing in that area. And I think it's part of just I don't want to say growing up, but I think just my taste changing as I age, perhaps. And so I'm finding that, what I'm looking for in a strong romance now is different than it used to be. I used to just read anything. And now I find my tolerance for some tropes and stuff, I'm like, I shouldn't read these anymore, because I'm going into it, I know probably it's going to annoy me. And so with that, I find I'm becoming a more discerning romance reader. So I don't keep picking up books that I'm going to rate poorly, because I'm like, I should have known that I don't like books with, I don't love fake dating. Like that's books where the whole story is predicated on an untruth, essentially. The whole time I'm like, but isn't somebody going to find out? Like, isn't somebody going to tell them? Like they would know. And so then it's like, well, then maybe this one's just not for me.
Yeah, I was like watching the internet, so it was like just thinking about it, like in real life, when you fake date someone, like it's just happened in real life, like, you know, let's explore this. And I'm like, yeah, chances are now, you know,
right?
It is a very popular about
it is, and that's where I don't want to be a hater on it, and that's why I've found recently I've chosen not to rate some books that I've read and been annoyed by, because when I examine it, I look at it and I'm like, I should, like, going into it, I'm predisposed to not liking this book. Therefore, I feel it's unfair to rate it poorly, because the writing wasn't bad and it is what it is, right? And so I struggle with that.
Yeah. All right. So let's try some book recommendations. You're going to share some books about female friendships. Tell us about this specific trope and like why these books you're picking up.
Okay. So these are not romance books, and they're not romance books because I also read widely in other genres. And I found in romance, because of the nature of the genre, the female friendship is never going to be the highlight, because that's not what, right? It is, romance is focused on the romantic relationship. And so I do read outside of romance, and female friendship is so interesting to me, especially as I get a little bit older and I look at the value of that in our life and how precious a female friendship can be. I'm not somebody with that whole like girl squad. I've never had that in my entire life. I have a few close friends, and they're not all best friends with each other, and I hold them very dear to my heart. And so I like finding that in books I read. And I like looking at, especially women as they age a little bit and have kids. And I like looking at that, what that looks like for other people. And so I find that in books, right? Because that's what we read books for. So the first book is, it's not just a female friendship book, but I'm not going to tell you what it's all about, because then it kind of ruins it for you if I tell you what it's all about. But it's Like a House on Fire by Laura McBride. Have you read this one?
No, I'm not. Okay. So tell me all about it.
Yeah. So I listened to this one and I listened to it on a drive I was doing one summer and I was just riveted. And it's about a woman in her marriage and they have young children and she is an aspiring career woman. She's working really hard to build her career back up after having kids. They live San Francisco, Silicon Valley, like somewhere really expensive to live. And it's talking about her, you know, trying to be everything to her family. And she forms this really deep friendship with her boss, an architect. And it's exploring that and how it changes her life, essentially. And like I said, it's not just a female friendship book, but it's a really close examination of women and marriage and motherhood and career and how it can maybe fit together.
I need to add this book. And the audio is great, by the way.
The audio was amazing.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I think this is something I need to find. It's one of my very favorite, narrators. And I want to say who it is, but I need to look it up. I chose it for the narrator. Okay. And I want to say it's Marin Ireland, but yeah. I'm looking like a house on fire. Because some books I've tried that, yes, it's Marin Ireland. Some books I am like, I don't know if I'll love it or not, but then knowing the narrator is somebody I love will push me to read it, even though I wasn't sure about it. So yes, it was very good on audio.
I love this. So tell us your next recommendation.
Okay. Wildcat by Amelia Morris. This is one that I really didn't look at anything about it. It was just a random book I picked up at the library off the new release shelf. And I usually try to avoid reading reviews before I read the book. And I don't think I even added this to my Goodreads when I started reading it. And then I read it and absolutely loved it. And then I looked at Goodreads and the average rating is like low threes. And I'm like, I'm so glad I didn't look.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was a wonderful book, right? And so I think sometimes reminding ourselves that it's worth giving a book a shot, even if it has a low rating, is it's okay, right?
Yeah.
We don't need to crowdsource everything. But this is, again, a mother with a young child. And this one's set in Los Angeles. And the main character is navigating a toxic female friendship. And the toxicity of that female friendship on her friend group and her career. And then it also looks at a new friend she makes and the major differences between that toxic friendship and the new friendship and what healthy friendship looks like versus not healthy. So I just thought it was such an interesting look at that. And so for me, looking at that and the whole complicated look at motherhood and how people feel about motherhood as they're trying to have a career and stuff too. I loved it.
That sounds so good. And I think I like the dichotomy between a toxic relationship and a healthy relationship. Because as someone who grew up with having a lot of toxic friendships and had to go to a lot of therapy to heal those relationships, because a lot of it's about you and how you interact with those relationships, and then trying to identify and create those healthy relationships. It's a lot of work, but it's sometimes books tell you like, oh, this is not, I know she's gaslighting you, or I know this is not feeling right. And books are telling you like, you can see an example of something else that can, you know?
Yeah. And I think one thing, this is why I think, I don't know for sure, but there was talk about vaccines and the mommy community and stuff in this book. And it wasn't about COVID at all.
Yeah.
But the book does have a very strong pro-vaccine message.
Okay.
And I know that can be a hot topic in some communities. So I could see if you are predisposed to not vaccinating your children, this book would push back against that belief. And so that it's all tied together.
Okay, that's good to know. But I'm pro-vaccine, so probably I'll be like, okay, great.
Yeah. So it's just interesting to me because every time I'm nodding along with a narrator in a book, I'm like, there's probably somebody shaking their head going, no, you know, and it's just an interesting way to think about things.
Yeah, it is interesting. So, all right. And the third recommendation, what is it?
Okay, this was my top recommendation from 2022, and I've pushed it to every possible place I can. It's called We All Want Impossible Things by Catherine Newman. Mm. And this is a book where there are two female friends and they don't live anywhere near each other. And one of them is dying, and the family makes the choice that she will go into a hospice near where her friend lives, not where her husband and child live. And that choice is hotly debated amongst readers, like whether they should have done that or not, but that's what happens in the book. And it's all about the friend essentially not helping her friend die, but the friend being with her friend, best friend, mm-hmm. as she's dying and going through that process. And it's also about the not dying friend, the support person, and her relationship with her daughter and her daughter's father and life in general. And I really loved the mother-daughter relationship between the mother and the teenage daughter mm-hmm. of the support friend, because I have a teenage daughter. And so I could really see myself in that. But just seeing the purity of that relationship and her being willing to help her friend let go, I thought was so, it was so touching, and it was so thought-provoking. I've been reading a lot of books about dying and the death process and stuff. And so I think it just really fed into that. And just like, how does it look? What does it look like to let go gently, I guess?
Yeah. It sounds so good, but it sounds like it's going to tug your heartstrings, you know? So.
Oh my gosh. I was laughing 1 minute and then I was just sobbing. My pillow was drenched. And so... And I think part of the reason I read books like that is because I'm realizing, I mean, I'm only 42, but I'm, you know, midlife. And so you start, once you hit midlife, you start thinking about things a little bit more. And I really like seeing examples of people being able to let go mm-hmm. versus clinging as hard as they can and resisting. It just seems a more peaceful way to live. And so just really exploring that whole concept of acceptance and that kind of stuff. So
yeah that sounds great. I think that's like a good place to look at. Yeah, as someone who lives in a place of radical acceptance, and it's like not as easy, it sounds really great on paper, and then when you're in it, you're like, oh, I have to accept the things the way they are. It's accepting, like, you know, people get sick and people transition out and people transition into your life, and it's a whole, nothing is set in stone. It's like letting go of the black or white and living in the gray. And embracing that place of the gray, what it will look like, you know.
For sure. Embracing that gray and just accepting all the time that nothing, that is sense of impermanence.
Yeah.
Right. And that whole, it's in meditation all the time, but the whole just like whatever comes your way.
Yeah.
You know, that's nice. Watch it come in, and then you'll watch it go out, and you know, that whole thing. So I'm working on that. I am in no way having reached enlightenment, but reading books like this does help me explore that.
Yeah, I definitely am going to pick it up for that reason, just because it's something to, I think it's seeing on paper, seeing on somebody else's experience and trying to identify how compassion, you know, with it, and at the same time, how does it, you know, how does it make me feel, you know,
And I really love to, when an author can imbue a sad story with humor, mm-hmm. I think it's so realistic, because when I think of one of the most tragic experiences of my life, as we were gathered as a family, and I think of how much laughing there was, right? Like, we were going through this horrific situation, mm-hmm. but we were able to come together and still bond in a dark humor kind of, do you know what I'm saying? And I think that's realistic. It is. And people like to pretend that it's all or nothing, but that's not the way usually it is. Right. And so I like that this was so real about that, that things can be funny even when they're horrible sometimes.
Yeah.
For the people in them. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's just like, it shows how life is. Like, it's just not all or nothing. It's not this place of like complete despair. It's like sometimes you find something, some beauty in it, or some laughter in it, or some, like, you see the absurdity of it and you're like, what the hell is going on, you know? And you laugh yourself about it, and then you cry about it, and you feel the experience. Yeah. It's about not pushing the feelings away. It's just embracing them as they come, because they do pass, you know?
And I think one of, and that kind of, I mean, seeing that explored, as we were talking about, like, female friendships, right? Mm-hmm. Like, seeing that explored, like, how do you weather hard things with people who are not your blood or married, or, you know, that kind of thing? Like, how do you experience this? And there are so many other books out there, but these were just three recent ones that I haven't heard as much talked about, I guess. So I really wanted to highlight these to get more exposure for them.
So these are great recommendations. So Kate, tell us about your Substack and tell us how we can find you online, but tell us about the Substack.
Okay. So So I started a Substack because I wanted a place to write online again. And I am the Mindful Librarian on Substack. I think it's mindfullibrarian.substack.com is how you actually find it. And I'm on Instagram at mindful.librarian. And I'm slowly transitioning my work from Instagram to Substack because I want a more mindful, I guess, thoughtful place to be, where I can kind of carve out that home. And people can subscribe for free. And if you subscribe for free, you get a newsletter. I do publish every Saturday. Every other week is the free newsletter. And then every other week is a kind of deeper dive for paid subscribers. But I give my book rec, I list all the books I've read, and I give a little snippet review of them, and I share great podcasts that I've listened to, and things I've read online. And I just bring to light some things that I feel like maybe aren't getting the, not news attention that they deserve, but just those wonders I find out in the world that I like to share with everyone. So
I love that. So thank you, Kate, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a pleasure.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with a free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of one with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.